Hello, Fightful Faithful. Welcome to another episode of Sour Graps. I'm your host, Alex Pulaski, and everything sucks. In case you're tuning in to find out what happens on Rampage, there have to be better methods than that, but I will tell you that there was a triple threat tag match to start the night, and Roderick Strong's friends pinned the current ROH Pure Rules champion. There were literally three other men they could have pinned, but they chose to pin the ROH Pure Rules champion. Stay tuned to the main show tonight when I inform Kate of this fact, and she absolutely frigging loses her mind. But on SmackDown, we started out with Randy Orton walking out to the ring to do a promo about what? I'm not sure. Triple H, he stopped off to Triple H to be like, hey, Triple H, he's talking to him. We don't hear it, but he's talking to him at Gorilla. And Triple H is like, yeah, whatever, just get out there. And Randy Orton's like, well, okay. And then he walks out there and he says, hey, I want to know why I'm not allowed to have a match with Kevin Owens at Crown Jewel. So Triple H obviously is the guy in charge here. So come on out. And then Triple H's music hits and Triple H, they cut to him in the back and he's like, ah, damn it. I don't want to go out there. Aren't you the boss? Who orders the sound guy to play your music if not you? Why are you surprised that your music is playing? Why are you angry, consternated even, that your music is playing? Weren't you the person who says, play my music? The music is playing is like, ah, damn it. Like, how the hell is that even a thing you can do? I honestly don't even know. But that's what happened. So Triple H comes to the ring. Randy Orton is there. Randy Orton says, why are you protecting Kevin Owens? And Triple H says, I'm not protecting Kevin Owens. Well, of course you are. Why can't I have a match with him? The match between you and Kevin Owens at Crown Jewel, that's not happening. Because you're protecting Kevin Owens. Everybody knows it. I know it. You know it. They know it. Even Kevin Owens knows it. Of course, you're protecting Kevin Owens. And Triple H is like, I'm not protecting Kevin Owens. I'm protecting you. And here's where I, like, okay, so I understand Kevin Owens is a dangerous fella. He's been known to kayfabe injure a few guys. But it is very, very funny to me how we're like, we had him have a match versus Gunther at the previous Saudi show. That was fine. We had him have a match versus Gunther again in August. Gunther's a heavy hitting motherfucker. He's been facing the Bloodline. He's been facing Jacob Fatu. Like, you came back. You were out for 18 months. And I don't want to see you get hurt again, says Triple H to Randy Orton. Randy Orton is in the best shape of his life. He weighs 295 pounds of solid muscle. I don't think you have to be worried about him getting hurt by Kevin Owens. I'm going to say that. And then the storyline is going to be Kevin Owens is going to hurt him at Crown Jewel. Hold on. Beast Mordos is talking. So the Undisputed Kingdom is trying to convince Beast Mordos to not be with LFI, but to be with them instead. Beast Mordos, I don't know, man. This is too silly by half for me. Just let Beast Mordos be a killer who's teamed up with Roosh. I don't know why we got to keep doing this thing. Are we going to feud them with? If we're going to feud LFI with the Undisputed Kingdom, I guess that's okay. I mean, it means I have to watch. It means I have to watch Matt Taven wrestle, which that sucks, but I don't know. So really quickly, before we get into this women's match, and I have to start being an old lady from Queens with a cigarette voice, before I have to transform myself into an old lady from Queens with a cigarette voice, I wanted to mention that Triple H gives Randy Orton the match he wants because Randy Orton is like, I want you to be the guy who doesn't care about people getting hurt. You remember when you came into my house and threw me through my own dining room window? Like, you didn't care about me getting hurt then, so why not care about me getting hurt now? And everyone's like, let them fight. And it's like, okay, fine. I'll give you your match, Crown Jewel. However, I want you to be all to know, be careful what you wish for. Be careful what you wish for, he says. Be careful what you wish for. So Kevin Owens is going to injure him. But we're going to do that. Probably going to do that, right? Yeah. All right. So he's the Lee LaGroy if he gets the Anagi. Anagi and Lee LaGroy. You know, Gryjai is possibly... You could easily do. Maybe they could be a. Maybe this is one of those things where they start out being opponents, and then they become rivals, and then they become friends, and then they become a tag team, and then you could call them Gryjai, or Jai Gry, but I like Gryjai. That's what we should call them. So anyway, a go behind there by Anagi, and a go behind there by Lila Gry. This is going to be very difficult for me to call the match because they're so similar. So we got Jai putting Gry in a headlock. And then going to go ahead and you got to shoot her off into the ropes there. There you go. Jai hits the ropes, comes back with a shoulder block into Gry. And then she runs the ropes herself, little leapfrog there. Oh, and then, nope, trying for the hip toss, but no, counted with some knees to the midsection. Toss Gry into the corner, and then a big running, spinning kick there by Anagi. Anagi, of course, has a match tomorrow night on Collision as well versus the Viva Vane. Oh, no! That was a hell of a neck breaker there by Lila Gry. And there we go. Shane Taylor had a match tonight. He's got a match tonight. Shawnee, I believe is how you pronounce it. Shawnee Talor had a match tonight, and then he is going to have a match again tomorrow versus the Joy Witte. So a lot of people pulling double duty this weekend. The Ricochet has a match tonight, and then he has another match tomorrow night. So Ricochet also pulling double duty. A lot of double duty being pulled tonight. If I could only tell you the number of nights that I pulled double duty at the same time. I was pulling double things. That's all I could say. I don't want to go into details because they'll bleep me off the internet. But I was pulling things doubly. Duty as well. Oh, and a big punch there from Lila Gry, and a big forearm as well. This is exchanging. Forearms, Gry forearms, Jai forearms, back and forth. Running her off into the ropes. Nope, a reversal. Duck under. And then, a big flying forearm by the Anagi. Running there. Big punch. Out, and a big kick. Out, and then we throw her down. And Anagi, oh, a running drop kick there. That's tough. Oh, there we go. Some kind of gory bomb. There we go. Gory bomb face buster. That's a one, that's a two, and that's a three. And Lila Gry is not getting up from there. not getting up from there. The MX Kami knows what's going on. My Crohn's is flaring currently. You could say that I am also pulling a double duty. That's one of those entendres. Because duty and duty, they rhyme. It's a homonym. Or is it homonym? I'm not really sure. But anyway, they rhyme. All right. Someone's going to be destroyed for the greater good. That's what Mock said on Wednesday. And I forgot that he said that. And that's, of course, why he destroyed Chuck Taylor for the greater good there. Some good stuff. Anyway, some bad stuff. As I said, it's supremely frustrating to have the seventh match between Carmelo and Andrade be the one match of the seven that has a special guest referee, because that ensures that it will be the worst of the three matches. And I know I wrote in the description for this particular episode that this had the stupidest finish of any special guest referee match in the history of the sport. And think of the ground that covers. But of course, I forgot the end of the special guest referee match when Seth Rollins was refereeing versus Punk versus McIntyre, and the bracelet being worn by Seth Rollins. So CM Punk had no choice but to attack the referee instead of finishing off his rival of 8 months, Drew McIntyre. That was a pretty stupid end of a special guest referee match too. But also so was this. This was also very stupid. LA Knight is refereeing the match while wearing a vest over his sleeveless referee t-shirt. He's also wearing the U.S. Championship around his waist while reffing the match. It is bad. The match is bad. Why is the match bad? Because LA Knight keeps getting involved. This was an LA Knight heel turn. This was an LA Knight heel turn. Because he was making what should be a great match bad by the way he was reffing it. Oh no, Andrade, I'm sorry, you're not allowed to do a Tope Con Hero. And then, of course, he does it anyway, but he slows everything down. Both guys don't like the kind of three counts they're getting. The two counts they're getting are too slow, all that kind of shit. Eventually, Carmelo accidentally hits him. So LA Knight, while Melo is performing a pinfall on Andrade, LA Knight pulls him out of the ring and throws him over the announce table. And like, he can't disqualify himself. So then he gets back in the ring, and Andrade, instead of saying, "Will you count him out?" He's out of the ring. Count him out, please. Andrade, I guess on general principle, doesn't want to win that way. So he shoves LA Knight. And LA Knight gives Andrade a BFT. And then Melo is in the ring, and he gives one to Melo as well. And then he gets up on the... He goes over and rings the bell himself with the bell hammer. And then he gets on the announce table with a microphone and says, "Both of these guys are losers. Neither of them are fit to be the number one contender. I am the best in the world. My name is LA Knight." Yeah, everybody's saying. And then he goes backstage. And of course, Nick Aldis informs him because of the way he refereed the match and got involved and did all of the dumb stuff that he did. Of course, that leads to LA Knight having to face both guys in a triple threat at Sands of Time. Mordos, put him away. Like, listen. You are an actual minotaur. You are made out of beef. This man is lying and says that he is beef. But you are beef. You are beef. Why, like, this man is poking fun at your religion. I guess, do minotaurs have a religion? He is making fun of your people. This man should be your greatest mortal enemy. Kill him. Kill him! Kill Beef! Get him off my screen for good. Thank you. Oh, yes. MD Jack-O-Lantern, who did not watch the show tonight, says that finish sounds anticlimactic between LA Knight and Andrade. It was incredibly anticlimactic. And also, you bring up the fact that Knight already beat both of these guys in one-on-one matches. How the hell are we going to commercial? How the hell are we going to commercial in a Beast Mordos versus Beef match? Beast Mordos should have beaten this guy in 90 seconds. I'm actually giving him too much credit. He should have beaten this guy in 30 seconds. What are we doing here? He's Beast Mordos. Man, most matches should be squashes. Most matches should be squashes on Rampage. They should have 12 matches in an hour because all of my faves should squash lesser opponents in less than a minute. I have decreed it. I have decreed it. A decree issued forth from the Sour Grapes podcast. Rampage has 12 matches per week, and they are all squashes where guys I like beat up guys I don't think are good and win in less than a minute. I have decreed. There you go. So LA Knight, by doing something very dumb, is now having to defend against both guys in a triple threat match at Crown Jewel. Now that match will be great. I won't watch it because blood money, but it should be great. So those of you who do watch it, I hope they give it the amount of time. I hope it's well wrestled. Should be fun. So, what else happened on SmackDown? There were only four matches, and they were only scheduled to be three. There were only three scheduled matches. A fourth match happens by fucking magic at the end of the show. Three matches were scheduled to be on this program. Three. So, Tiffany, you'll remember, had the flu last week, could not wrestle. So instead of Tiffany versus Naomi, it was Candice LeRae versus Naomi. It was supposed to be Tiffy and Nia against Bayley and Naomi. So Candice LeRae stepped in and helped out Nia versus Bayley and Naomi. And Candice was actually the one who got the pinfall on Bayley. So what we got here is Tiffany, like, I'm back. I'm sorry I was sick, but I'm here. I'm ready to face Naomi tonight. And Nia's like, oh, that's fine. I don't need you. I have Candice. Candice pinned Bayley last week, and you've never done that, have you? So I'm going to have Candice step in and face Naomi tonight. We wouldn't want you to get the Tiffy sniffles again. And this makes Tiffany very upset. Like, hold on. I legitimately had the flu. That's not fair of you to make fun of. Like, just because I don't know. It's just weird. It's just, yeah, it's stuff. It's not good. So, we got, Candace versus Naomi. It's a very good little match. It's a very good little match. It really is. Honestly, not too bad. Not too bad at all. Candace and Naomi are very good wrestlers, and they wrestle well against each other. They seem to have very good chemistry. However, however, Indy Hartwell wants to get involved and try and attack Naomi on the outside. So Bayley runs in and takes out Indy. And because of that, Candice LeRae is just standing there watching it and turns around and walks right into a Bubba Bomb from Naomi. Oh, how I hate that that is her finisher. And then she gets rolled up out of that into a pinning combination, a leverage pin by Naomi, and gets pinned. And then Naomi and Bayley stand tall in the ring, looking down on Candace and Indy. So I feel like we're getting Candace and Indy versus Bayley and Naomi in a little mini feud out of this, probably leading into a women's War Games match, where it's going to be like Meechin and Bayley and Naomi and, well, I don't know, versus Nia Jax and, oh, it's going to be Charlotte, isn't it? Oh God, it's going to be Charlotte, right? I'm not missing anybody. Bayley, Naomi, and Meechin. Those are the good gals on SmackDown. And now it's going to be, unless Tiffany cashes in on Nia in, I don't know. Queendom, Bayley and Meechin versus Nia, Tiffy, Piper, Chelsea, and Candace. I don't know. I really don't want Queendom anywhere near this. I just don't. I'm kind of over them entirely. I just want Bianca to expose Jade in a singles feud, and for Jade to have an extended run in NXT where she can learn how to wrestle. Sorry that I'm being so blunt about it, but that's kind of what I'm hoping for. I know I'll never get it, but that's kind of what I'm hoping for. Well, the sweet shock of ages is that MCMG are your new tag team champions. The sour is how it happened. Everything else is sour as well. I'm sorry. Tony Khan needs to be stopped. Tony Khan needs to be stopped. Somebody, Will Washington, if you are out there and listening to this, you need to stage an intervention on Tony Khan. He cannot try to be more like WWE. Hey, all of their finishes have shenanigans, so all of our finishes should have shenanigans. Look at how many people, how many fucking rubes are packing their arenas. Nobody's coming to our show. I'll bet that's because we don't have enough shenanigans. How the fuck are you gonna book Beef to only lose a match versus Beast Mordos because LFI interferes? Why the fuck do we need more fucking shenanigans? We don't. Stop it with the fucking shenanigans. I'm so fucking done with shenanigans. I expect it on the other fucking show. Stop doing it here. Stop it. stop it. You will never, ever be number one by trying to be more like the current number one. That will never work. Ever. The people who love you as number two will start to hate you. And the people who hate you as number two will never switch from number one to number two. They'll never do it. Fucking stop. You should be trying to find as many ways as possible to be less like that place. Stop it. Harley Cameron's great, by the way. Harley Cameron is great. Like, she's so improved in the ring, and all of her promo stuff is really clever in its silliness. Harley Cameron's excellent. She's really, really great. So we're gonna get to see Harley Cameron versus Thunder Rosa, which will be pretty fun, I hope. Backstage, Bianca and Jade are informed that they will be facing Damage Katarl and Chelsea and Piper and Lash and Jakara. They'll be facing them in a fatal four-way. Listen, stop writing fucking shit that doesn't make any fucking sense. And then giving it to people who should be smarter than this to say it. They are told that they have beaten all of these women. They've beaten all of them. They've beaten all of them. So instead of all of them going to the back of the fucking line, they have to face all of them at the same time. And if somehow Lash Legend pins Chelsea Green, then Lash and Jakara are the tag team champions. That is what you have told Bianca and Jade. And Bianca says, "Yay, I'm really happy about this latest development." She says, "You know, I'm really happy about this because we stay ready so we don't have to get ready. You can be confident without saying stuff that doesn't make any fucking sense. And also, you can be a little pissed that you've got to face these girls, and you can at least request that it be an elimination match. So somebody, one of those four, has to pin your shoulders to the mat in order to actually become the champs. But nah. Nah. Also, yeah, did they not remember their last multi-women tag title match in which they were not pinned but lost their titles? They should fucking hate having to defend their titles in a multi-team match. Yes, you're right. At least Chelsea doesn't stink anymore. Yeah. I'm really glad that Chelsea doesn't stink anymore. I'm surprised they stopped doing that already. Cody and Gunther come out to talk about the fucking belt nobody likes. And Gunther says, "You're really dumb." And not... none of that, like all of this, you're posturing and you're fucking, you're lying. You're a liar. You're a noted liar. "Oh, the most important thing to me in the world is the love of my daughter, Liberty. And that is why I must win this belt nobody likes." And Gunther is like, "What? Like, your daughter has nothing to do with this. This is a match between two top champions to see which one is the best. How the fuck does that have anything to do with your daughter? And Cody's like, well, obviously it has everything to do with my daughter, but it also has everything to do with them. Gunther came in, his music hit, and stopped all the rubes from being able to say, whoa! So Cody is like, hey, everybody, I know you all really wanted to say whoa. So I'm going to go ahead and give a 3-2-1 countdown, and then we'll all say whoa together. Right? Because you're all mindless fucking automatons. Fucking monkeys who do whatever I want. Great. Okay, 3-2-1. Whoa! Everybody fucking whoa-ohs together. Oh, God. Remember that time we all went to Brooklyn Barclays Center? We all get to do whoa together. That was wonderful. And a whole bunch of other bullshit. Talky between two guys. And eventually, Gunther says something Cody doesn't like. I don't remember what it was. And Cody punches him in the mouth. And they have a little bit of a brawl. Who fucking cares? Can we please, please, please move on beyond this stupid fucking blood money match for a belt everybody thinks looks like shit? Please, let's move on past it. Please. Also, Gunther keeps talking about Gunther. Obviously we also know that Kevin Owens will be in Saudi Arabia, having faced Randy Orton earlier in the night. So KO taking out Randy and then costing Cody the match versus Gunther is certainly a possibility, but also a possibility, a very big possibility, is Goldberg flying to Saudi Arabia and jumping the barricade and hitting Gunther with one of the worst spears you've ever seen, and then costing Gunther the title as well. Certainly, that's also possible. So, we got a Randy Orton and Triple H promo. We got a fucking terrible special guest referee match where the special guest referee did fucking stump a bunch of fucking stupid stuff. We got Naomi versus Candice LeRae that ended with shenanigans. We got a talkie-talkie between Gunther and Cody that proved nothing. And then that's it. And by the time we got back from commercial for that, we were doing some other stuff, not really a whole bunch of other stuff. And then we go right into the entrances. At about 20 minutes past the hour, we go into the entrances for Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa versus Motor City Machine Guns with 40 minutes left in the show. And if you hadn't seen the spoilers, you'd be like, this is going to be the longest tag match ever. This is going to be great. But if you had seen the spoilers, you go, oh, that explains it. Because MCMG and DIY have a really great match that ends because Johnny Gargano accidentally kicks Tommaso Ciampa off the apron. And then Johnny Gargano gets a double team move from MCMG and loses. And they win. And there's still 20 minutes left in the episode. So then out come the Bloodline. And we go to commercial. And we come back from commercial. And Nick Aldis is in the ring and says, this isn't happening here, fellas. We're not doing this. And like, oh, no. We just wanted to come out and welcome the newest tag team to the SmackDown roster. And eventually the discussion between them devolves and we get Solo challenging MCMG to a title match right here, right now in Brooklyn. And so Nick Aldis is like, no, they just had a grueling match versus DIY. There's no reason for them to agree to face you when they're not 100%. And Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin are like, we shall do it because we waited a long time to get to WWE, and therefore we would like to agree to a match that where it works against us to be able to win. But what they should say, what they should have said is, oh no, we'll totally do that. I mean, you guys don't know this, but I saw Jimmy Uso and Roman Reigns walking around back there. So they're totally going to interfere in this match and help us win. So we're definitely going to agree to your challenge. I mean, maybe they shouldn't have said that to Solo Sikoa and Jacob Fatu and the Tonga Tongas, but it'd be kind of funny if one of them walked up to Aldis and whispered in his ear, and Aldis is like, oh, well, I didn't realize. Yes, of course. Yes, you could have the match right now. Because the match is the match. It's the Tonga Tongas. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if they were any good as the Gorillas of Destiny, but as the Tonga Tongas, they're not very good. They're not very good as the Tonga Tongas. So, by the way, Ricochet and Nick Wayne are having a very good match right now, as which should surprise nobody. So the Tonga Tongas take advantage of just, you know, all the weird distractions provided by Solo and Jacob Fatu. And then a masked fella shows up and kicks Solo in the face. And it's Jimmy Uso. He takes out Jacob Fatu, but then Solo gets him from behind. They're beating the hell out of Jimmy Uso. And then here comes Roman Reigns. And Roman Reigns runs down and Superman punch to Jacob Fatu. And Superman punch to Solo Sikoa on the ramp. And they're all fighting on the ramp. And they fight up onto the stage. And nobody in that arena gave a single flying fuck who was wrestling for the tag team titles. All the rubes in Barclays, all they fucking cared about was Roman's here. Roman's here, everybody. Roman's here. Which, yeah, he's the biggest star in the company. But you know what you don't really want to do, at least I don't want to see you do it, is to drastically overshadow the new tag team coming in that you're about to belt up with the new tag team titles. You don't want to overshadow that by putting all the fucking bloodline bullshit around it. And when Roman and Jimmy fought Solo and Jacob Fatu to the back, I thought to myself, okay, we're going to reset in the ring. There's no more shenanigans. And now Motor City Machine Guns get to actually win the match clean. How fucking stupid I was, because of course that's not what's going to happen. Of course, Jey Uso shows up wearing his own black hoodie. And of course, the crowd fucking forgets all about the MCMG again, because all they want to do is fucking yeet because they're fucking rubes. So then they yeet a lot, and then Jey Uso, there was a ref bump that I missed. I don't care enough to go back and figure out what it was or when it happened, but there was a ref bump that I missed. And so Jey Uso fucking hitting them with fucking spears and chairs. He's wailing on one of the guys with a chair 3 feet from a referee who must have been absolutely concussed to not have known what the hell was going on 3 feet from him. So he beats the hell out of one of the Tonga Tongas with a chair. And then MCMG gets to do their double finisher. And they become the champs. And nobody in that fucking arena gave a shit except for the fact that the bloodline was involved. And they get pyro. They get to walk up to the stage and hold up their brand new belts, and they get pyro. And good for them. I'm really happy for MCMG. I just wish that they had been built in a way that allowed the match had been built in a way that allowed for them to just be the better tag team and beat the Tonga Tongas without, you know, without all the fucking extraneous bullshit involved. I mean, obviously that makes me fucking naive. You might even say it makes me a rube to think that anything like that could possibly happen. But I was hoping. I was hoping it might. So they leave. And Jey Uso's still in the ring. Jey Uso is the guy in the ring getting all the adulation. Everyone's going, yeet, yeet, yeet. Oh, God, how much I love to yeet. And then Jimmy Uso comes back onto the stage after MCMG have left. And he walks all the way down to the ring. He's like, you're with us? You're here? And he walks over and he and Jey Uso have a big old hug. And like, hey, remember our Mania match and how much it sucked? Good times. And then Roman Reigns comes out and he seems like, oh, I don't know if I like all of this. And Jey Uso's like, oh, I'm not sure if I like all of this. And then they go to break. And so MCMG became the champions in the least impactful way possible. Thank God the Tonga Tongas aren't the champs anymore. Thank God Jey Uso isn't the IC champ anymore. Thank God for all of that. But you know, it is what it is. Let's watch the final 4 minutes of Ricochet versus Nick Wayne. Here we go. As Matthew Hook says, MXM versus Outrunners for Collision. If the Outrunners win, says Shock of Ages, that will be the start of my villain arc. Again, another thing we have to intervene on Tony Khan for. Fucking comedy acts beating vastly superior tag teams. Can't have it anymore. It's not what AEW was built on. Fucking stop. Fucking stop, please. Outrunners should in no way beat MXM. MXM is an actually good comedy team because they have more than one joke. Ricochet going for the... He was going for the 630, but Nick Wayne got out of the way and Ricochet, able to anticipate, rolled through, hip toss into the corner, big chop from Ricochet onto Nick Wayne. Oh. Oh, rolled it, rolls him up. Oh, he's using the ropes, Nick Wayne, you dastardly villain. Oh, shoved into the corner. And a big dragon suplex with a bridge from Nick Wayne on Ricochet. I think the thing that makes Nick Wayne a heel is his puka shell necklace. Nope, trying for Wayne's World, but no, it stopped. And trying for a big high-angle German suplex was Ricochet, but a back elbow from Nick Wayne runs in. Flip by Ricochet. He runs the ropes. Oh, and a big spinning, big boot to the mush. And a deadlift German suplex. Nick Wayne kicks out at 2.5. Ricochet pulling out all the stops, trying to put away Nick Wayne as Mother Wayne looks on. Here we go. Ricochet pulling Nick Wayne to his feet, trying to get some kind of fireman carry. Oh, but Nick Wayne blocks it, but he can't block that giant forearm. Now he's gone to a fireman's carry. Is he going for the detonation kick? Nope. Drops him down, drives for a roundhouse. Big pump kick. Side kick from Ricochet and up Enzigiri from Nick Wayne. Half and half from Ricochet. How far am I behind? I'm like over a minute behind, aren't I? I'm doing play-by-play, and everybody who's listening has already seen it. Oh, tries for the springboard, but it's caught into a cutter. Oh, some kind of destroyer. But Ricochet kicks out. Come on, fellas. Let's go. Bring this home. Bring this home, everybody. Ricochet is letting this kid look great. This is a really great match. And Nick Wayne remains one of the most underutilized guys in AEW, but I believe it'll all work out because he's with Christian. And eventually, when he's like 21, he's going to be one of the top dudes in this company. But he's like 19 now. Oh, that was a sprinting clothesline to a seated man. It was like a reverse. That was a reverse hidden blade. Instead of running and throwing the back of your elbow into the back of a guy's head, he threw it like the inside of his elbow into a guy's nose. That was hell, man. That was crazy. And this is year ago. Tom Lavallee says, when Nick Wayne's 28, his level will be something we can't conceive of yet. 28? Hell, by the time he's Kyle Fletcher's age, he's going to be that. When he's 25, he's going to be among the best in the whole world. Oh, here we go. Takeshita's coming out to confront Ricochet. That'll be fun. And yes, Matthew Hook says Nick Wayne should be an ROH champ. Like, that's someone who we should be elevating. Nick Wayne should absolutely be challenging for the ROH title, which should not be held by a guy like Chris Jericho. Takeshita versus Ricochet is going to be an amazing one. We get Ricochet versus Leo Rush tomorrow night on Collision. TBD if there's going to be a Collision review. TBD. But you'll find out about it, of course, when it happens. Until then, guys. I have no doubt the Outrunners, the Outjobbers, are going to beat MXM tomorrow. It's going to be one of the worst things that's ever happened in the history of the world. And the reason because that is going to happen is because everything sucks.